Sam was, am I turned on? Sam was saying that he didn't get to bed till 3 o'clock. At least he has an excuse. I'm like that all the time now. How you doing?
Good.
This is really great that you're in the front row. How many remember what I preached when I was here last time? Oh, no. I only have 2 sermons. Actually, somebody was asking me if I was going to preach the same thing this afternoon as I did this morning. No, I'm not. I think that happened last time I was here. I don't think it's ever happened in any other church. Something to do with you. This place is full. You know, those of you that are standing, there's 2 seats here that I was taking them both. Right? You can sit on them. Go ahead. I don't spit. A lot. So since I was with you the last 60 days, I've been home for 5 days. Yeah, that it'd be better if you get it a little more. Aww. The people on the video would really think you weren't very responsive to me. I was in Kazakhstan for 2 weeks ministering with Messianic believers there. It was incredible. In Almaty, down in the south, right close to the Chinese border, it was like 18 degrees, and the birds were singing, the sun was shining, the grass was growing. And we flew 2 hours north to Karaganda, where there was 6-inch ice ruts on the road. Like, you got your car in the rut, and you had to go where the rut went, because to get it out, you would almost ruin the undercarriage of your car. But we had an incredible time in both conferences. And then I prayer walked in Israel for 6 days. So I went from -9 degrees to 28 to 30 degrees. It was a bit of a culture shock. And I walked up to 18 kilometers a day. The team was walking 30 kilometers a day. And I didn't think it was a big deal. But the first day I arrived just in time for dinner. It was great. And but before we went to dinner, the guys had to dress their feet. And so I saw what their feet looked like after 4 days. And I am not lying. The blisters were this big on the sides of their feet. One guy had a great big balloon on his toe. You couldn't see his toe for the blister. I thought, man, these guys are suffering just to walk and pray for the land of Israel. It touched me deeply. It scared me even deeper. But it touched me deeply. From there, I then flew back over to Frankfurt, and I ministered in Germany for 3 weeks with leaders and pastors and intercessors. And God is doing something very powerful in the nations right now. I got to go home a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, I guess now. And I got to be home for 5 days. It was incredible. I just got my body clock back to Eastern Standard Time. And I was going home to pick up my wife to bring her so she would be here. And but she had a massive gallbladder attack while I was away in Germany. And she just had an emergency CAT scan this week. So appreciate your prayers for her healing. You know, I was in your prayer meeting before the service, and I just started to weep. The presence of the Lord was—it wasn't an intangible substance any longer. It was tangible in this place, and as you were praying for the people with cancer and so on, I thought, you know, it's time. It's past time for us to begin to stand as God has called us to stand as a family, to stand as one, to stand undividable with God's word and with one another, to start to see the purposes of God fully released, to start to see the miraculous signs, wonders, and healings of God. Not so that we can brag that we've got the anointing, but so that your neighbors and friends who still don't really trust you. They really think you're weird. You are. Okay, you know, and that's okay. You know, once you are okay with being weird, then it's fine. But they need to see the tangible outworkings of this faith that you call real. And so I am just absolutely committed that the body will come into this place of unity, walking in the discipline of the Word of God, so that we will see in our midst the hand of Father God raising the dead, healing the cancerous growths, growing limbs where there were no limbs, so that we no longer just come to church for goosebumps to chase each other up and down our back, but we come full of thanksgiving for what the Father has done in our lives, in our house churches during the week, so that when we're coming here, we each come, as Paul said, one bringing a psalm, another bringing a word of encouragement, another a hymn, so that everything that the Father would want to have would be the part of who we are. And did anybody notice I was looking around through the worship? Okay. Well, I was, and I do that because I get bored. Hi, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day in Canada today. I'm not with my mom or my mother-in-law or my wife, but I'm with you. As we were worshiping, I felt I was to look around, and the Lord just really started to speak to me, and He spoke to me about you. Yeah. So I don't know if this is home for you or if you were a visitor here, but Father really wanted you to know that He is walking with you right now. That the stuff that you are going through is nothing compared to the glory He is going to release to you. And that if you will not back down and you will not look to the left or to the right, but you will walk with the Father, He is going to lead you in a way that everybody else is going to say, that's impossible. Okay? That was why I was looking around. And the young woman that was playing the keyboard. Yeah. You know, when you worship, there is a glow on you. And it's not the lights. You close yourself in with the Lord. And whether anyone sees you or not doesn't matter, because your heart is enraptured with Him. And I just want to encourage you to absolutely go for broke in worship. Amen. So, this morning I talked about how we are to walk as Jesus did. That Jesus only did what He saw the Father do. And He only spoke what He heard the Father speak. And then I related that into the life of David, how he learned through the trials of trying to bring the Ark of the Presence of the Lord back to Jerusalem. He was doing a good thing. It even seemed like the right thing, but in the midst of it, disaster struck, and his friend Uzzah was killed by God. And David got very angry at God. Do you remember I was telling you last time I was here, it's okay to get angry with God? I don't recommend it because He always wins, but you can have a fight with God and it's okay. David had a fight with God. And somehow he learned in this process that God had an order. There was an order in God's kingdom that when it was followed, released life. And when it was not, death was the result. And that was what I shared this morning. And so it was a real upbeat message. But I want to talk to you about a real upbeat message this afternoon. I want to talk to you about the test of the Lord. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you that your word is sharp, sharper than a two-edged sword. I thank you that it cuts between the soul and the spirit, between the bone and the marrow. It is not a sloppy word. It is very clear and very precise, and it is life to the hearer. And Father, I thank you that it is life to every man and woman who hears it this day, as they choose to say yes to it. And so, Father, I thank you that the hearts, the minds, and the wills of everyone here will be submitted to your word. Father, I submit myself to your word today, and I ask that your word would be preeminent about everything that we do and say here today, in Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed said amen.
Amen.
You know, as I was in Pastor Sam's office, and it was, by the way, how many remember the prophetic suit sermon? Right? Okay. The first service more remembered. Maybe, I don't know. Was it the first service that I talked about it? Second service. Okay. Okay. But after the service, Pastor Sam said to me, he said, Mike, have you ever had your shirts tailored by your personal tailor? And I said, well, of course not. And he said, well, tomorrow, Monday, we're going to go down to my tailor. I love that, my tailor. That was so cool. We went in and we saw Roger, and I've never had anybody measure me the way that Roger measured. I mean, he measured everything. And it was so cool because he looked at me and he said, you're fairly tall. I'm going to have to use more material. And I thought, that's going to cost more money. But he made my shirts longer, and then he said, you got a tall, thin neck. And so he put two buttons on my collar. And I was really excited about being able to wear one of the shirts that you gave me. Thank you. And I noticed that he's wearing a shirt that Roger makes, because there's two buttons on the collar. Other side. Yeah, there it is. But the, you know, the second button is really hard to get done up. It was just a very cool, it was a wonderful gift from the Father that came to me through a brother. And I'm very grateful for that. So I'm going to talk to you about the test of the Lord. And when I was in Pastor Sam's office, in between putting my feet up on his sofa and putting my head back and realizing that I'd been in church for 14 hours a day for the last 4 days, that I didn't really need another church service, the Lord just started to speak to me. And it was that he didn't want me to speak what I spoke this morning. And then when we came into the prayer time in the before the service, how many were here for prayer time? Like, you really want to go to the prayer time. Like, it was rich. It wasn't boring. You wouldn't fall asleep. Like, it was good. Seriously. They paid me $50 to say that. U.S. Is it okay to have fun? Yeah, good. Good. I can't remember your name. Gia. She says, I feel like the Lord wants me to read this scripture. And she opened her Bible up to Hebrews chapter 12, and I just about fell off my chair, because that's where I'm preaching from. Okay? So two things. I heard the Lord, and you heard the Lord. And that's very cool. I'm going to be reading from the New International. That's because the New International is nearly inspired. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured for sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. verse 5. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he corrects, or he loves, and he punishes those he accepts as his child. Verse 7. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who has never been disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you, as he does all of his children, it means you are illegitimate and not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? It's interesting. If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, that is powerful. It means that each one of us who are sons and daughters of the living God will be disciplined. Hebrews tells us that Jesus learned obedience. In the New King James, it says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. When I was here last time, I talked about my journey to sonship. And after I was walking in this journey for a while, the Lord really started to speak to my heart about coming into a place as mature sons and daughters. And the test of the Lord was what would require, or what would be the measurement of our maturity. And so if we are not tested, we will not mature. How many went to high school? Okay, so some hands didn't go up. I loved school. I hated study, but I loved school. I loved lunch break. I loved spare period. Do you have spare periods here? Okay. And I loved summer holidays. And I loved tests. A lot. Right? How many remember tests? Yeah, you have the look that is a look that will never, the anguish of tests will never leave you. It is embedded upon you up for your life. I understand. But when tests would come, how many would do what I did? Yes, see, you understand. The night before the test, you stay up until 4 o'clock in the morning cramming your brains out because you got to pass the test, right? How many did it? Okay, the rest of you liars. No. Of course you did. And after the exam was over and you went and you sat down and had a Coca-Cola, did you remember a single thing that you crammed into your brain the night before? Not a thing. And this is the point of the test of the Lord. It's not about cramming for the final. All right? We're going to find out as we read a little further down that you can go through the test of the Lord and not learn a thing. Some of you have been going around the same mountain for a long time, and you're really sick and tired of a mountain. And the Lord says, pass the test and you get a new mountain. Or you thought you would never have a mountain again after the test was over. You see, if we are going to come to a greater level of maturity, we have got to go through these tests. We have got to go through these times where we feel there is nothing left but God. Because then you will find out that in fact, God is fully there. He has never left you. He will never forsake you. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is forever settled in heaven, and it will not lie to you. But you must go through the test. Your father, your mother, your sister, your brother cannot do it for you. They say that there is no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. There are only sons and daughters. So you must go through this, okay? I'm sorry if you thought, or if you were told by somebody well-meaning that you know, give your life to Jesus and everything will be okay. I'm sorry they lied to you. You know, like everything will go, you know, all the bad things will go away. The dark clouds will leave. The sun will always shine. The roses will always be in bloom. And you'll always have fresh tomatoes on the tomato plant. I'm sorry they lied to you. All right? The reality is that you will go through hard times. I actually now like hard times. Because hard times mean I will have the privilege of a test. And if I have a test, it means that Father says I'm a son. Because the tests come to the ones that he says are sons and daughters. Are you with me? You're very quiet. Okay, let's just find out if it says anything more in the Bible about tests, okay? Go to Matthew chapter 3. This is an incredible story. Verse 17 says, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" Now look up. How many would love the Lord to say this to you? Of course. "Well, I am sent to you by him today to tell you, you are his beloved children. Each one of you. If you know him, you are his son and daughter. And he says to you, I am pleased with you." Can you receive this word from God? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 1 of chapter 4. "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil," or to be tested. Wow. Was that a trick by God? You know, "Son, I really love you a lot."
Thank you.
"I really do." Okay, now just let the Spirit of God lead you out that door. And wherever he takes you to the wilderness, don't worry, I still love you, okay? Okay? Like, it's going to be really a lot of fun. In the wilderness, you're going to love it. But Jesus, see, we think the wilderness time is the enemy trying to attack us. We think the test is just a bad joke. And the enemy is just trying to keep us from having the good victory in God. I want you to understand something. How many like to have a victory? How many will not raise your hand no matter what I ask? Oh, she raised her hand. Right, you did. I saw you. Yeah, I'm looking at you. Actually, she just brushed her hair back, but I see, if you were at an art auction, you just paid $100 million. That's why they have silent auctions now. God wants you to understand that his test is his love for you. His test is to bring you from where you are today into a greater place of maturity. I remember when I was going into grade 1, I was so happy and so scared all at the same time. I'm the oldest kid, so nobody in my family had done it before me. How many ever had to have that fear? There's only 3 of you. 4 or 5, okay. It was great, but when you got to school, all of the other kids were so big. It was scary. I remember I had to go to the bathroom. And you had to walk out of our room and down the hallway. And all of the kids are like giants. It's why I grew so tall. I thought, I will not be intimidated by giants any longer. Why do I talk about it? Because grade one was fun. We got to play with toys. And back when I was a kid, that was a long time ago, grade one was, ouch. Grade one was 46 years ago. Who laughed? You laughed. One day you will be as old as I am. But when I was a kid, we had these. The Canadian Reader was See Dick Run, See Sally Run, See Dick and Sally Run. That was grade one reading. And I didn't like reading, but I had all of these tests, and it was great. Now, how many remember the difference between grade one and grade two? See, I knew you would. I nailed you right from the beginning on this, right? See, what I found was grade 2, 4, 6, and 8, I hated. Grade 1, 3, 5, and 7 were great. Because grade 2, 4, 6, and 8 were actually reinforcing what you learned in grade 1, 3, and 5, and 7. You didn't know that, did you? But I also had the best teachers in 1, 3, 5, and 7. My point is, what I learned in grade 1 was reinforced in grade 2. But the way it was reinforced in grade 2, it didn't sound like the same thing. And it was a new test. And I could not just say to God, I learned this in grade 1. I don't need this test. Because you never finish school if you do that. And in the kingdom, cramming for the exam at the end of the year is foolishness. Because it's actually the entire course throughout the whole year that is the point of learning. Don't be so worried about getting out of the tough spot. Don't be so crazy about, you know, if you're 15, when do you get your driver's license here? Age? 18? Okay, so, you know, like kids at the 17, maybe it's not like that here. Do kids at the age of 8, 17, they're just want to really get their driver's license? No, because where are you going to drive, right? Okay, what's the legal drinking age? 18. Okay, so kids in high school at age 17, like they're thinking, oh man, when I am 18, I'll be an adult. I'll be able to go to the bars legal. Right? And they waste away the age of 17, hoping for the age of 18 when they only find out that mom and dad said you can't go out at night at the age of 18 anyway. Because I'm dad, right? And I will beat you. Don't waste the journey of your test. Let the Father work out in you what He has longed for you to be. You see, His journey with you to build character is far more important than the day of the exam. Are you with me? This is yes. This is no. The journey of your walk is what is going to produce the victory on the day of the exam. Psalm 105, verse 19. And that was what happened with Jesus, right? When he was led out into the wilderness, he was tested. The Father said, you're good. You've done well. And then he sends him to the desert. I want you to know that God is going to send you to lonely desert places. Not to be mean. Not to make you have a nervous breakdown. But so that your dependence becomes on Him. It was really difficult for me to come on this trip, I have to confess, because I'd been away from home for 40 days exactly when I came home. And Then I was leaving 5 days later to be away for another 12 days. And I was really wanting my wife to be with me because it's a strength to me. And I was looking for ways to get out of this test. It'd be more convenient, actually. You could even say it'd be more responsible for me to be with her when she wasn't feeling well. I mean, she's rolling around in agony, and she's got nausea, and she's good with pain, but not with nausea. And you feel helpless. You feel, what can I do to help? But you feel like you need to be there. Any guys, do you understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. One of you. But we knew that I was to come to Hong Kong for this time. I just spent the week with 5,200 Chinese believers. 2,000 of them. Not 5,200 Chinese. Maybe probably 4,600 Chinese. 2,000 of them leaders from the underground church on the mainland. Taiwanese, Macau, and Hong Kong. And as Canada, we're walking with China for your destiny. You understand you are China, right? I know. It's a difficult thing. In fact, 2 days ago, one of the Hong Kong leaders, Pastor Eddie Ma, they had had some incredible worship. Like, we would worship for 2 hours. Just worship. And then we would worship some more. And he came to the platform and he said, you know, those of us from Hong Kong and Macau need to repent to the Chinese. Because in 1997, when we were going to be reverting back to China's control, we thought that this was not God's will. We felt there is no way, if we go back under China rule, we are going to come into persecution, and we don't want persecution because we are Hong Kong. And he started to weep. Deep, deep repentance. For the fact that because you had been separated as a colony, your identity had been completely lost. And so he said to the leaders of Macau and Hong Kong that were there, if you agree with me that we need to repent for this, I want you to come and join me. And there was about 500 on the platform. And all of a sudden, just this deep, deep repentance broke out. And they all got on their face on the platform and just started to cry out in repentance. And different leaders spoke on behalf of the whole body in recognizing the preciousness of the Chinese church, the devotion and the absolute perseverance that they had lived with, that those of us with the Western mindset had not had anything like that, but we had always tried to teach them. And it was an unrehearsed, unexpected, deep repentance, or could I say deep test from the Lord. Because as they went into it, they said, we know that we want to embrace the mainland Chinese leaders, but we know that you will be even watched as you're here. And so, please see us later. We don't want to jeopardize your safety. And the Chinese leaders They just ran to the platform. You see, fear was not going to stop them from walking in unity. And the fear of officials seeing them was not going to stop them from receiving their brothers and sisters' repentance and to extending their forgiveness. It was a huge test for the leaders of Hong Kong and Macau, but it was even a bigger test for the Chinese brothers and sisters. The test is not what you expect it will be, right? That's the whole point of why you have to study all the material, because you don't know what the professor will ask you on the test. It's why cramming is so futile. And it's why learning as you are walking along and learning obedience in everyday simple things is what will release the victory and the pass mark in a test. In Psalm 105, verse 19, the psalmist is talking about the life of Joseph, and he says, until the time that his word, this is the word of the Lord over Joseph, came to pass, the word of the Lord tested Joseph. Now let me ask you, how many here, you have a promise that God has given you? It's a promise of maybe some victory you're going to have, or something, some exploit that you're going to do, or some adventure he's going to take you on, and he is going to show his glory in the midst of it. How many? Okay, those of you that have your hands up, I want you to stand up right now. Wow. Okay. Now, what I want you to do is I just want you in your place, I just want you to go around in a slow circle with your hands extended out like this. Don't do it until I explain what you're going to do, okay? Right? What I want you to do is this. For everybody that's sitting down, I want you to pray for them that the Lord will start to give them a dream. That he will give them a word that will be in them like a rhema. That every individual in this house will be walking in this kind of relationship. I just want you to do that. Just to pray generally over every person. Just go ahead. So you can turn around and just be blessing them. Pray that the Lord will give them a word. Because let it be a word that'll be big enough that God will test them and bring them into a greater level of maturity, that his word will be life to them, that his word will be hope in the midst of disaster, in the midst of hopelessness, that he will have his way. And everybody said, amen. Thank you. Now here's what happens. When the Lord gives you a word, he tests you. And so the bigger the word, bigger the test. Man, you should see the tests I've gone through. God called me to the nation of Canada. And the calling of the nation of Canada is to bring healing to the nations. And so my test has been extremely difficult recently. It's extremely exhausting. But when you start to walk in the word that the Lord has given you, you will see the test. And when you start to see the test, then you will start to see the hand of the Lord moving in the midst of the word. And when the word starts to have the test and the hand of the Lord starts to move with you, you start to see the authority of God upon you. And now the courage of the Lord and the boldness of the Lord starts to rise up upon you, because the test is only confirming that the word that you have had that was impossible for you to complete is now being completed. And now this test is wonderful, because God is confirming all that he has been bringing you through by bringing you through this test, so that as you stand at the end, you look at the back and you say, wow, how did we get here? This is the faithfulness of God. This is why he tests us. This is why he brings us from one place of glory to another place of glory. You know, it's interesting. We just want to go from glory to glory. We don't understand what that means. If you're going to go from one place of glory to a new place of glory, the Lord is going to have to transform you from where you are to where He is taking you. And if we are going to do that, it's going to be on a day-by-day basis, every day, learning the steps of the Lord, walking and seeing what the Lord is doing, only doing what He is doing. And as we do that and we are in these little tests, He is going to start to release more of His glory. And all of a sudden, you're going to go and go, how did I get here? How did this miracle happen? How did these... And you won't be worried about who did it in you anymore. It'll be the fact that the glory of the Lord is upon you. Am I making sense? That's a miracle. Psalm 11, verse 5. The Lord tests the righteous. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. I search the heart and I test the mind. Why would He have to test the mind? Because if the mind has not been renewed, what is taking place in the heart will only be an experience that's going in circles. It isn't actually going anywhere. So He will search your heart to see what is in your heart. And if your heart is longing after these things, then He is then going to test the mind. Are you submitting your mind to being renewed by His Word? Or are you only living on the experience of how it feels when He speaks to you? We have got to get past that. We have got to come into maturity. And if we are going to be a church that will walk with signs and wonders, and we won't fall because God starts to do things wonderful. You see, right now in the church globally, there are more leaders that are walking in anointing that end up falling because they have not passed the test of the Lord. The test of character, the test of righteousness, the test of obedience. You see, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. So anybody can have a gift to speak or to pray for the sick or to see the dead raised. Those gifts are not equivalent to the test of the Lord and the character of the man. We have got to start to understand how we view leadership, how we view why the Lord is testing us, and why He must have people of character in this time. You see, it'll be pure people of character who will be the five wise virgins. It will be the people of character who will be in Matthew 24, verse 24, where it says, in the last days, there will be so much deception that the elect, even the elect would fall, except the Lord will shorten those days. Those that will pass the tests all the way through will be those that are the elect. They will be the ones who have the word of the Lord written on their heart. Even if they don't have a Bible left in their hand to be able to read, it will be written upon their heart. This week I was with a man from Iran who at the early age of 7 really started to follow Islam. And by the age of 12, he had memorized 2/3 of the Quran. He said, just going to the mosque and following the imam is not enough anymore. So then he joined Hezbollah. And by the age of 15, he had personally executed 6 people. And then he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And this man is a man with a broken and a contrite heart. This man is seeing Muslims brought to Christ in incredible ways today. He is allowing the Lord to test him and to bring him through the test. And now the character of this man and the integrity of this man are in keeping with God's word. So He is going to test our mind. He will search our heart. James 1:12. Here's one that you need to underline. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Let me read that to you again. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. How many love him today? Allow yourself the privilege to stand. Allow yourself to go through the test. Allow yourself the privilege to die to your ways, so that the ways of the Lord can be brought to be a part of the DNA in you. That your ways will be replaced by the ways of the Lord. These are the things that the tests of the Lord are for. How many need to have more victory? I'll just wait a minute. Of course, we all need more victory. And sometimes we get discouraged because we think, well, when are we going to have the breakthrough? Could I suggest we will have the breakthrough when we pass the test? Right? When we stop wandering around the same old mountain, complaining about the same old, and we start looking to the Lord as how He is going to renew our thinking. Because when our thinking is renewed, then we will start to walk in a new way. But we have to persevere. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. The Father's promise to you is sure. It has been forever settled. Before the foundation of the earth, the Lord knew you. Now that's pretty amazing, because you don't look that old. But He knew who you were. He knew your spirit, because your spirit has been with Him. And He was the one that determined the day and the hour and the place and the circumstance of your birth. And if that is the case, then start to rejoice in what He brought you here for. And if you don't know, then start to ask, why am I here in Hong Kong in 2010? I found it amazing. I was meeting all kinds of people that had left Hong Kong and left China 10 and 20 years ago, and the Lord is calling them back. Calling them back for His purpose in this time. They are going through His test. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and to give you a future. As you start to endure this divine testing of the Lord, remember that He is treating you as a child. He's not some sick old man looking to get an extra pound of flesh, but He's actually looking to bring you to graduation, to the place where you are a mature son or a daughter, and He says, here's the keys to the car. Here's the keys to the house. Here's the keys to the kingdom. Because until we come to this point of maturity, the inheritance that is waiting for the sons and daughters is left in trust. We can't give the full inheritance to the 5-, 6-, and 7-year-olds because they won't know what to do with it. And it's time for the Lord to be able to have men and women who He can say, I give you this authority. I release to you these mysteries. I release to you my blessing as you have never known it before. If we don't do that, the reality of what happens next in Hebrews is true. it says here, work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy do not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you falls or fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. You see, what ends up happening to many of us is in the midst of our trial or our test, we get angry. And when we get angry, we start to complain. I know nobody's here ever done that. So I don't even have to ask you to raise your hands. But when we start to get angry, the enemy gets a toehold. And as we continue then to let this anger brood in us and grow in us like a cancer, the toehold grows into a foothold. And the foothold grows into a stronghold. And at that point, the root of bitterness is so deep within us, we have nothing of life to give anyone. And when someone is looking for life, we say to them, "Don't be a fool. God would never do that for you. He didn't do it for me." And we absolutely speak life or death and destruction to the people that the Lord has brought to us that we are to release life to, that we are to release hope to, that we are to release correction and encouragement and edification to. You see, if we don't let the Lord train us in the test, bitterness is our natural demise. How many want to have bitterness at the end of your days? That's good. Some of you are thinking, but how are we going to do this, Michael? I mean, it preaches good, but how does it really work? For me, it's worked this way. Matthew 11, verse 25. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have not, or you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you've revealed them to the babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight. You see, this test of the Lord, this maturing as sons and daughters, takes us right back full circle to the trust a son or a daughter has, a toddler has, with the Father. It was fun driving in with Pastor Sam this morning. Pastor Sam 2. Okay, this is Pastor Sam 1. Pastor Sam 2. And Micah was in the back seat. And so the video stopped working in the back seat. And Pastor Sam 2 didn't want to turn right around and fix the video as he was driving down the road, which is really, I was grateful for. But I watched him with his son, and it was fun how Micah trusted his dad. Some of you today, though, you're saying, "But I'm not a little 3-year-old. I'm 28, and I got a fair bit of baggage going on right now. And it's hurting. It's hurting to keep on carrying this." I know. That's why Jesus said this in verse 28. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." Some of you have been working really hard at trying to be a good Christian. And you're frustrated right up the yin-yang. You just don't know what to do anymore. You're almost ready to pack it in, some of you. You keep coming because you know you gotta. But Father says to you today, come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. What that infers is you have to give him yours. All of your trying, all of your ways of doing it, give it to him. And learn from me. How will you learn from him? In the test. Because there is a fruit of righteousness that comes to those who are trained in the test of the Lord. I am gentle and lowly in heart. That's comfort to you. That is counsel to you, that he is not looking to beat you up, but he is looking to bring you through to his fullness. And you will find rest for your souls. Some of you are saying, oh, if I could have that. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Would you stand? Now, no chastening or correction seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Some of you just need to bring all of the burdens of trying to live your life. You need to bring them to the Lord. Including in the burdens are the complaining of the tests, complaining of the circumstances that you find yourself in, wondering why you got the short end of the stick. You have to exchange all of the complaint, all of the unfairness that you perceive over your life. You need to exchange it so that what the Father is testing you in actually trains you. And it starts to yield more fruit. There's righteousness. As the worship team sings this song, I'm just going to wait. And I want every one of you that wants prayer that you say, I will exchange the way I've been doing it for the way the Lord wants to do it. I'll wait for every one of you that will come as we sing through this chorus just to come to the front, and then we'll pray with you. come real close. Come right up. To know that the Father is not bringing shame to you as you come today. This is about releasing a burden that makes your butt drag on the ground instead of letting you walk in freedom and life, that allows your mind to be renewed to say, Father, I will welcome your test. I utterly reject the enemy's accusation, the enemy's tempting, but receive your test as part of your perfect love for me. And Father, I don't have even maybe a picture of what Father is, but what I see in your word today, I will start to trust you this way. So, Father, I pray for everyone here at the front, for the reality of your holy word to be upon them. Father, that they will be able to discern between the accusation of the enemy and the work of the enemy and the test of God. And they will know how to stand against the accusation of the enemy because of how they pass previous tests with the Lord. In fact, walking through these tests from the Father will release authority to them to be able to know the enemy's tactic. And then they will be able to quickly diffuse the voice of the enemy, and they will continue to walk on in the Lord. And Lord, I pray for them now that as you even said, you reveal these mysteries to the little children. Father, that does not mean they are immature at all. It's speaking of the innocence that a little child would have to trust. Father, in Jesus' name.
Juanita, can you go over there? We're just going to pray for you guys up in the front. I just want to hear some, just during the message. I just really sense the, there's actually a quote that I heard when I was in college. And I feel like God was just speaking that over you guys that came up here, and for the whole church as well. And it's always really stuck with me, and it's helped me through some of the trials, you know, that have come. It's a real simple, you know, very catchy line. You know, but I just want the Lord to really breathe that into your hearts today. It says, those He royally elects, He ruthlessly perfects, and He lovingly pursues. You know, and a lot of times we run into these tests because God wants to do such an incredible work through your life.
That's right.
But He wants it to be centered on Him and not on you. Right? And so allow Him to just perfect that in your life. There is a vision, there's a hope, there's glory in store for every single one of you. God has got something incredible in mind. You know, and the enemy wants to come and take your legs out before that even happens. I felt I had a word today that even some of you are getting, you know, in a season of getting a lot of suicidal thoughts. You know, and it's been coming stronger and stronger these days. It's something that you've had as you've been growing up, and now it's this season is just getting stronger and stronger. The enemy is out to take your legs out. And we stand in the gap, we say no. And I want you to just to begin to proclaim that. And you're like, no, there's a future and a hope for
yes.
me. And you claim that over your life right now, whoever you are. We don't want to embarrass you. It's not about, you know, calling you out, none of these things. But you just receive that in your heart. There is something in mind for you.
Yes.
There's even some of you guys here that God's given you incredible vision and has been in a graveyard for a while. You know, and the Lord wants you to know that it's resurrection time.
Amen.
It's resurrection time. You know, there's a picture when Jeremiah's, you know, out to the field. We see dry bones, but God sees an army. And all he says, breathe. And what I want you to do is I want you to breathe and prophesy over those dry bones. It's things that seem so lost and so desolate and so years and years and years ago. And you begin to claim that. And remember what he said? He turned to the man of God and said, prophesy over the bones. And what that just basically means is begin to call out what God wants it to be, even though it doesn't look like what it is now. And whatever that is, whatever vision, right, whatever mandate that God has put over your life that seems so far away and seems desolate and just died across the way, you just begin to prophesy over that thing. And say, God, we call it to be, or this is your will for it to be. Regardless of what it looks like, and you watch God do the miracle over your life. And so, Lord, I pray for friends, God, here today that, Lord, either, God, are going through a season of these suicidal thoughts, God, and tendencies, or will rebuke that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or others that have gone through, God, a time, Father, where the vision seems like it's sinking and dying, God. But the vision is yet for the appointed time. Though it tarry, wait for it. For it will truly come. And so breathe, Lord. We ask you to breathe life. In the pneuma of God, just breathe over their heart and their vision, God. Right now.
Jesus. Yes, Father.
We thank you, God, that before resurrection comes, there must be a death. And so whatever you want to die in our people here, God, we pray that we would crucify these things. that resurrection power would rise up. Thank you, God. I want to ask the house church leaders or, you know, other leaders, Jimmy, Judy, any other ones, come and just begin to lay hands. You know, the intercessor prayer team that's here at church. And God's doing a deep work in our friends here. Just partner with the Holy Spirit and just praying for them. The rest of you guys that are
life
here, and
tree of life.
We dismiss you to leave. Go ahead and go in peace. May the Lord bless you this week. You know, if you want to stick around and pray for your friends, please do come and stick around. We have a reception downstairs on the fourth floor in a little bit. But you're blessed to leave right now if you need to go. God bless you guys.